We're back on the air. We're talking about entrepreneurship, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. And, you know, our next guest comes from a rarefied firm that we don't get too many guests from. We're going to be speaking with Anand Rao of PwC Analytics. That's PricewaterhouseCoopers, right?
For those That's
who
right,
forget.
Yeah.
The older ones of us, we call it PricewaterhouseCoopers. Welcome to the show. You have to tell us about what PwC Analytics does. It must be a separate profit center.
Great to be here. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me. The PwC Analytics Group is a group that serves our audit practice, tax, and consulting. And what we do is look for some of the leading edge things that are happening today in big data, analytics, artificial intelligence, and bring it to our clients. Essentially do projects where we are helping our clients make better decisions. So at the end of the day, how can you make better decisions? It could range from marketing decisions, capital decisions, risk decisions, all of those decisions. How can you make that better using data, using analytics, using artificial intelligence?
You've opened up a can of worms. So I assume you're dealing with larger clients when you're talking about big data and artificial intelligence and how to use those analytics to run your business better. What current trends are you looking at that you could share with our, let's say, small business entrepreneurs? Because everything's a trickle down, right? So whatever big business is looking at in the next 2 to 3 years, small business will be looking at.
Very, very good question. Yes, we are, as a firm, we are very much focused on serving large clients. But as you very well know, innovation comes from small groups of people or even individuals and startup companies and academic institutions. So as part of my brief, I actually deal with academic institutions, researchers, professors, and then moving on to startup companies and what they do in terms of pulling some of those things together to solve very specific issues or problems is what startups are focused on. And in my role, I look at all of those and see how some of those things have matured enough so that it can be applied more in a business setting for some of our longer term clients or larger clients, I should say. And in that sense, some of the things that obviously we are hearing is a lot of work that's happening now around artificial intelligence, around machine learning, natural language processing, machines being able to understand human language, being able to take photographs or video footage and make sense out of it as to who is this? Is it the same Jeffrey? And can even go back and say, it's the same Jeffrey 2 years back, 5 years back, and so on. So there are systems that can start looking at images and start making sense of those images.
Okay, now I'm gonna probably be not too intelligent for you. When I hear you say machine learning, mm-hmm. I think big business, big production line work, and I think of machines that can improve its output as it's producing output on its own or with human intervention.
Yeah.
Is there a school teacher?
Yes. So let me try and explain that in a more simpler way. There are different types of machine learning, as you said. So by the very definition.
Very exciting to talk about.
Yeah. It's the machine is learning, but just as a child would learn, the question is, does a child learn automatically, or are we as parents and other elders influencing the child? So think about it in a similar way. So there are different types of machine learning, and one of the things that people talk about is supervised machine learning. So here what happens is the machine is learning, but it needs to be guided in its learning, right? So for example, if you're teaching a child, you say, hey, look at this. Here are square blocks. Here are round blocks when you typically play Lego, and here are triangle blocks. Now show me how you're going to sort out these blocks into square and triangle and circle. Then the child, having known that example, can do it. Right. So similarly for machine, we tell them what is a square box, what is a circle, what is a triangle. That's called supervised learning. So you label the output, and then based on that labeling, then the machine is learning. So that's a simpler form of learning. And there's a more complicated one, which is unsupervised learning. So you're throwing in all the blocks on the table and asking the child, why don't you sort this? Let me see how you sort it. And the child can go many ways. It can just sort out based on shape, or it can sort based on color, or it can do it on both, right? So that is something that the child inherently is doing. That's called unsupervised learning.
Right.
And the machines can do the same.
I'm good with unsupervised learning.
Yeah.
I'm a master of that.
That's right, yeah.
I was not as good at supervised learning.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Does this type of situation, is it enabling, or is this part of the factor that's giving America a manufacturing competitive advantage again on the world stage?
Yes, so I would definitely say one is on the manufacturing side. The other thing, if you look at some of the more recent advances, it's actually in the service sector where some of these robots and knowledge workers, as they are called, are being introduced. So manufacturing has had robots and robotics, which are more inflexible, if you like, for a long time. So now I think we in US are working, are the leaders in some of these robotics for the service industry or personalized robots, so things which are $5,000, $10,000 worth is something that a small business can afford to have. And how do we teach those robots? Not in a very traditional programming. The robot essentially watches you do certain things and starts learning from watching, or starts learning by imitating the human. So those are the kinds of things. And you're right, there's definitely an area of great research happening here, right here in Boston and other locations in US, where I think we would have a distinct advantage.
So, you know, how long do you think that technology will take before it trickles down to, let's say, which is the majority of the economy, small business, not necessarily a PwC model,
yep,
but small business, which is, you know, 80% of the American economy?
Yeah, I would say it started happening, right? Mm-hmm. So there's always adoption curve, so it doesn't come very fast. So as we all know, there are robots that run around vacuuming the floor. That may be a very simple thing to do now, but I think
that's usually called dad in my house.
It's probably at this stage maybe more efficient, but there are such personalized robots.
I know the iRobot.
Yeah, and we are sort of going up the scale in terms of what some of these robots can start doing, taking care of the elderly, teaching the little kids to do things. So all of those things are coming. And I would say in terms of a time frame that you asked, I would say in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll see more and more of this coming. And I think more widespread adoption would follow. But I think at least the initial ones that you'll start seeing, you're already started seeing, but there'll be more of that.
Do you write programs yourself?
Yes, very much so.
Right. That's interesting. So give me a sense of your background.
My background is in computer science. So
right.
Grew up in India in my computer science, went to Australia, did my PhD.
Nice place to live.
Nice place to live. And that's what attracted me there, to Sydney, beautiful city. So went there to do my PhD in artificial intelligence. Spent a couple of years doing my PhD there. In between 1 year, I spent at the IBM Research Center here in New York. Went back, and then when I went back, I went to a startup company to Melbourne, and it was called Australian Artificial Intelligence Institute. So it was a quasi-government research as well as defense research set up by SRI International in the Bay Area. It's set up in a similar fashion. So I was part of that. I was the fourth employee there. Essentially grew that group, that artificial intelligence group. Worked there for almost 10, 11 years. Worked with some of the aerospace and defense here in US, NASA, the space shuttle program, some of the DARPA contracts and Australian defense contracts. Did all of that for 10, 11 years. Then did a flip into management consulting. So did my MBA and then moved into management consulting. Spent around 8 years in London, working across financial services and telecommunications, and then moved to Boston in 2006. So spent around 10 years here. And when I moved over here, that was a time when big data analytics, artificial intelligence more recently started coming more commercial. So it has always been
good
there.
City to be in.
Yeah, it has always been there. So I used to do that. And then I went into the business world for 10, 12 years. Now the last 7 years I've come back into combining the both. So my initial first love, if you like, of AI married with my second love of business. And now I'm in the sort of the third phase and combining.
And you run
the
a
two.
Department at PwC?
Yes, I run my innovation unit within PwC. So obviously a very exciting group and exciting group of people to work with.
A little bit of a sidebar. I think I heard Sydney, Melbourne, London, New York, and Boston.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Would you describe the cities differently in terms of its like business attitude?
All are very vibrant cities. Beautiful cities, vibrant cities. I would say Boston is much more an academic-oriented culture and a more startup-oriented culture, Bay Area and Boston. So I've definitely enjoyed that a lot, working with the university partners. New York, London, very, very commercial, business-oriented. So that has a different slant to it as well. I guess each city is different, and I've enjoyed all of them.
That's good. You've really had an exciting business career. If somebody wants to find you at PwC, Anand, how would they find you?
My LinkedIn, or if you just come to PwC Analytics, you should be able to get to my homepage or site.
Great. Give me one last one question. Give us a sense of what we're going to see in the next 2 years that's sort of a new exciting technology.
Yeah. So a number of those. So I think we have heard about autonomous cars, and in fact there are
I saw one this week on TV
and it's sort of, if you go to the Bay Area, it's there running on the streets or driving on the seats. You'll see more of that. I know there are various commercial products available, cars available, which are not maybe 100% autonomous, but still getting there. You can go into a highway and then take your hands off the wheels and it's still reasonably safe, right?
That's exciting. You know, I keep thinking of my mother, who's long gone, because my mother had that an innate ability that no matter who got into her car, they got out immediately and walked, because they couldn't sit with her in a car. So it would have been a great invention for my mother.
Yeah. And that's a good point, in the sense that it opens up the use of mobility to a far larger group of people who can't drive either.
Well, she thought she could drive.
Yeah.
But my mother would
maybe safer for
my
the other
mother
people.
Would stop the car on a highway to change lanes. So, and my mother would drive in the city with a bag of Mitz nuts in her and look down into the bag before there were cell phones and start picking out the cashews. And I'm like, Ma, don't do that. Everybody walked with my mother. But great having you on the show. Very exciting. I hope we get to see you again.
Yeah, same year. Enjoyed being here.
My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been speaking with the future. Anand Rao of PwC Analytics, and great speaking with you. We're going to take a break and just remind everyone, this is Radio Entrepreneurs.